Good morning and welcome to Dispensational Bible Church. And first of all, I want to say happy Father's Day to the many fathers that are out there. And I always like to say, you know, when you call somebody father, it's a great thing. When you call somebody daddy, it's more personal. So I want to say happy Daddy's Day, if you will. When your father is really the Son of the Living God, when we cry out Abba Father, that means Daddy. So I just want to say happy Daddy's Day to everybody out there and that's listening, and we're really rejoiced in the fact that who we are in Christ Jesus, and it makes a difference in our life. Once again, welcome to Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible. The Bible's on way. And once again, our meeting room is still closed, and we're still remotely and not in the jungles or high mountains of Himalayas or nothing, but we're down here at our home, which you're welcome to come and visit if you're in the area. I have a couple prayer requests and praise items. We want to think of the people that's still not completely healed with some illnesses. We had a dear saint that passed away in Florida, Kathy Beckmeyer, and I know that Hal's going to miss her greatly. She went on to be with the Lord this morning early, so keep Hal in thought and prayer. Keep our other saints that might be still dealing with some financial issues, whether they're trying to get back to work or they just don't have no work. That type of thing. So keep that in thought and prayer. Keep our leadership in thought and prayer. I know it seems like a very horrible time to be in. I do want to say this. Sometimes I cut my phone off on the weekends, especially at night. And when I turn it on, one of the first things I want to make sure is, you know, my kids didn't text me or anything, you know, needing attention. But, you know, when you go straight to a news or Facebook, that type of thing, it really sets a tone for your morning. And with this, with what's going on out there, I don't care what your Facebook set up, you're going to see some things that you don't want to see, what's going on that's tearing our country apart. You know, with that being said, sometimes it's best not to focus on that. Focus on who you are in Christ Jesus first. And it sets a different day, sets a different tone. So keep our government in thought and prayer. Keep our website in thought and prayer. Keep our ministry in thought and prayer. I do thank for the ones who are donating towards our ministry. We would really appreciate that. We do have a meeting that's coming up July 17th, 18th, 19th. Really, it's 18th, 19th. At the Amish Door, and we're going to have Brother Richard Jordan, Russell Shepherd, Ted Fellows, Ben Wanda, and Brandon Smith, and myself will be speaking there Saturday morning and Saturday night and Sunday morning. And that's where we're going to have our church meeting. And you can make, if you want to stay, there's rooms available there, but it's something that you call to make the reservation yourself. with that being said, that is a cost to our church. Our church is putting on Dispensation Bible Church. So that's something that we'll talk about later on as we go. So keep that in thought and prayer as we had the meeting coming up in July. I know a lot of people's doing internet ministries and all, so it's wonderful. This will be a live ministry that you can be there. But we'll also be online, Dispensational Bible Church, and possibly our YouTube channel. We'll probably have that set up where you can go to YouTube Live, and the people that don't have Facebook, that they can also visit there. Let's see if there's anything else. Let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the time. Thank you for the things you've given us. As we think about our prayer requests and praise items, Lord, we know we lift everything up to you, and in doing so, it gives us peace, and we thank you for that. And Lord, as we continue our study in the book of Daniel, we hope that we'll continue to learn what Daniel was learning from the Lord to be able to teach Israel in their trying times, and we'll be able to glean something from that. As we think about who we are in Christ, let that be known throughout this world as it seems dark, and let us be a light in this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in lesson 62 in the book of Daniel, and we left off in verses 12 and 13. And if you will, go to Daniel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst send thy heart to understand, set their heart to understand, and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come forth thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." Now, we left off last lesson talking about the different relationships of angels. Now, Michael is an angel. He's an archangel. And he's there to come to, not Michael, Michael and Gabriel, if you will. Gabriel's coming down to talk with Daniel because Daniel had sent a prayer request up, and it took him 21 days to get to Daniel. But our relationship to angels, as we left off last time, angels don't protect us, okay? They watch us. And as we said before, if you're saved today, you have the God, the Holy Spirit, that's part of the Godhead, is dwelling inside of you. You don't need an angel. You have God's Holy Spirit inside of you, and you also have God's Word to help guide us in things, and we make good choices that. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9, referring to how angels are applying to us, it says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Now, this is something in the mystery program we live today. What God is doing is different than what he did in times past under Israel's program, and what he's going to do in ages to come under Israel's program. Now, angels can see us. And they're see us operating as members of the body of Christ. Now, if they look at the world today, they're not going to see the members of the body of Christ in unity, if you will. But the members of the body of Christ, that instructs them about the manifold wisdom of God. That's the wisdom of how God is operating in the dispensation of grace. The angels in the angelic realm is watching us. And they learn the manifold wisdom of God by watching us believers function as members of the body of Christ. Now, you and I may agree or disagree, but Paul, when Paul talks about the things that I find myself doing, I'm not doing the type of thing. This flesh is very powerful. Okay, this flesh can tell me what I want and what to do, but the spirit inside of me can tell me something different. So Paul talks about yielding your members of righteousness. Okay, you either yield it to unrighteousness or you yield it to righteousness. So the angels in the heaven right today are watching us. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality." Now notice God, Christ, and the elect angels are watching the body of Christ. They're in the third heaven, and some of them, that's where God and Jesus Christ is, and then there's some angelic beings in the second heaven. We'll get to that in a little bit. They are observing us because we're involved in a program that the elect angels that he's talking about don't know about until Lord Jesus Christ revealed it to Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus about this new revelation. And they're watching us and they're learning about the manifold wisdom of God. Now, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual weaknesses in," where? "High places." You see that spiritual weaknesses? Now, that is the unelect angels, the lost angels, that are Satan and his cohorts. Now, they seek to stop us from operating as members of the body of Christ. They oppose bodily truth that God is doing today. They oppose the truth that God was doing with the nation Israel, the true nation Israel, not the apostate nation Israel that followed and whored after other gods. So they oppose this truth that we're in. And we don't have guardian angels. I know that upsets a lot of people, but we don't. And the fact that when demons try to oppose you, they try to teach you as seducing spirits teaching doctrines of devils. That's how they operate today. They're teaching you out of corrupt versions of Bibles. They're teaching you to doctrines of devils, which is other doctrines of teachings of, you know, pastors or religion systems and all that stuff. That's why you better know who you are in Christ and know what God is doing in the dispensation of grace. They teach you false doctrine. That's what they do. And it affects your mind, it affects your brain, and it will affect you, and where you will start operating the way they want you to operate. Now, you can still be saved and still operate this way. Okay? That's not good. All right? But the thing is, the battle's in your mind, and you may think what you're doing is pleasing God, but you're not. You're pleasing yourself. And they try to get you to leave bodily truths and leave the grace principles. Okay? That's hard, isn't it? It really is. You know, for the last 25 years, there's been attacks with my wife and I and our family under this grace message and all. So we're not alone. You know, sometimes you think you're in the island of the Red Sea. If you think about you, Berlin back in the Cold War days, the half the city was there free, and everything around them was red. Okay, and that's what they call the island of the Red Sea. And we had to airlift things to those people there, and we kept them, that helped them support that way. Well, you're not alone. Okay, I've learned a long time ago that you stand for truth. Okay, and you don't worry about who's behind you, but when you turn behind you, you'll see who's behind you. Okay, so you stand for truth. Now, some other passage where angels are watching you is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. It says, "For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle of the unto the world, and to the angels, and to men." You see that? Spectacle. They're watching you out there in the angelic beings. Now, we look up at a starry, starry night and we see some wonderful things up there, don't we? I mean, it's beautiful how God's universe is. But there's unelect angels up there and elect angels up there watching us how we operate today. Verse 9 and 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "Neither was the man created for woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power overhead because of the angels." Okay? There's angels watching women today. There's angels watching men. But who was a man made for the woman, a woman made for the man? The woman was made for the man. So the man protects that woman, if not the angels. We talked about the fallen angels coming down and with the daughters of men. And they created giants and stuff. So you got to watch that. Now, go with me. Let's talk about the structure of the government in the heavens. Okay? And so we can understand what he's talking about when Michael had come to help him when the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood him. So in Amos chapter 9, in Amos chapter 9 and Colossians chapter 1. In Amos chapter 9, we're just using one verse there, so if you just want to let me read it to you, you can. If not, it's Amos chapter 9, verse 6. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven, and hath founded his troops in the earth. He that calleth the waters of the sea, poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord Jehovah is his name. Now, God established positions of rank and authority in the government of the universe. And God established positions of rank and authority in the earth. Okay? And God established positions of rank and authority in the heavens and the universe apart from the earth. And God established those things and he set them up. Now, they are described in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things which created by him and for him." Now notice something here. They say thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. But where are they? Well, we know they're in heaven. We also know they're in where?
Earth.
The earth. They are visible and invisible. Can you see the powers and principalities and thrones in the heavenly places right now?
No.
You cannot. Now, the principalities on earth, positions of government authority, there are principalities in heaven, positions of government authorities. And he uses these terms to describe the position of rank and authority on the earth, and he uses it to describe the same thing in the heavenly. So what's in the heavens, the same thing is on earth. What's in earth, the same thing in heaven. Now, you don't have earthly bodies in those positions in the heavenlies. That's why you have celestial and terrestrial. I know I goofed that up.
Celestial.
Thank you. But they're corresponding likeness and authorities. Now, put in mind, Titus chapter 3, verse 1, says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work." Now, you put in mind, in subject of principality and power, that's here on earth, okay? Now, he's not talking about principalities and powers in heavenly places. Titus not. But look, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this. Talks about, let me turn there. I'll goof it up if I don't. Verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in" where? "High places." He's talking about the ones in high places there. So there's that structure of rank and heavenly places that you can see there. Now, the Bible is pretty clear. If I change this right quick. I don't know if I can. And you might not be able to see it until I zoom it in like that. Okay? Right? Now, this is a picture of the universe. We'll might not get so much into this today, but I want to share some things with you. The universe is a rectangle. You ever notice when you have a book, it's a rectangle? It's not a round book. It's a rectangle book, okay? And just picture the universe as a rectangle. And it's pretty clear how it is when you put it on there. You have the third heaven. That's, see if I can pull it down here. The third heaven is right here, where God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elders and stuff are at. And the third heaven is where God is abode. Then you have three heavens Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 says, "For I knew a man in Christ above 14 years, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of body I cannot not tell. God knoweth." such as one was caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up in the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, when he says in the body, out of body, I cannot tell. You know why? When you break this body, this shell, this clay pot off of you, the soul, the real you, it still looks like this. Okay? And when Paul goes to the third heaven, okay, he's looking at himself in the body. I cannot tell because he's not seeing any difference. But where did he go? He went to the third heaven. So now you understand there's different parts of heaven. That's third. Now, when you come down here, from here to where this is at, the universe, the stars and the planets and stuff like that, that is the second heaven. It's the universe and the stars and the galaxy and et cetera are, all that. Then where the earth is, the first heaven is the blue skies. We call it the heaven, the air, and where the atmosphere around the planet, where we live. That's the first heaven. Then you got second heaven, you got third heaven. The first heaven, you think about where the birds fly. The second heaven is where the stars are at. And the third heaven is where God lives. Okay? Now, Gabriel, what did he do? Where did he come from? He comes out of third heaven. And he leaves third heaven where God is, and he's going down through the universe right to earth. And he's going to Babylon, where Daniel was at. And he comes down, and the corresponding likeness of the heavenly places. So he's not a... When he comes down through there, he's looking at earth as if he was in heaven. I'm thinking, because it's the same. Because there's verses talk about the earth as a pattern of the heaven. Okay, the tabernacle on earth that God set up through Moses is the same as what's in heaven. It's a pattern. Okay, it's almost like a mirror image. But you know, listen, when you look outside sometime and you go on the mountaintops and you go to the river streams and you go see beautiful landscape, don't you? I mean, it's just like heaven. And you think, wow, what a place, what a earth. And then you see people tearing it all to pieces. And you're like, what in the world are they doing? Well, they're ignorant, okay, for one. Two, this world is nothing going to be compared to what it's going to be like in ages to come, okay? It's going to be paradise once again. But when he comes down there, and the angelic authority called the prince of the kingdom of Persia, notice Persia, where's Persia at? It's on earth, okay? It's on earth, and there's a corresponding position in heaven that represents him. Okay? There's a prince in heaven, and it's like the heaven is divided into territories like the earth is divided up. Now, remember, go to Matthew chapter 12, and remember Ephesians chapter 2 calls Satan, he's the prince and power of the what? Air. He is the prince of the invisible realm. And he's called the prince of this world in John chapter 12. Now, there's a very, very interesting couple verses in Matthew. In Matthew, chapter 12, starting with verse 25. Now, Matthew, what do you know about Matthew? Jesus Christ had betrayed king. And in order to have a king, you got to have a kingdom. The kingdom's not here yet. Okay, they did not accept him. So what Matthew also is written about, he's written about a time in ages to come. Okay, a kingdom that's going to be coming on this earth. But he says this, verse 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divideth against itself is brought to desolate, and every city and house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall this kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come to you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except first he binds the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Listen, there's some things going on in this country and this world right now that strong man has a hold in some things. And they're strangling people, and they're trying to do away with them. Now, what does it say at the end of that? Except the first, the strong man be bind the strong man. You have to bind the strong man. But Jesus Christ says when he casts out those devils, those people, then the kingdom is going to come to you. So Jesus says Satan's kingdom is divided against itself. It can't stand. So if you think about that, we as a Bible-believing Christians today, if we make a stand on who we are against with Satan of these worlds, he can't stand. If we show the division what he's doing, he won't be able to stand out there. But look, Satan has an organized kingdom. And he has formulated a rebellion against the attempt of the universe against God. You know what I'm saying? He don't like what God's doing. Go to, if you remember in Isaiah chapter 14, be turning there. What Satan has done, he has sought to usurp the political and government authority of the Most High. And he said he wants to be like the Most High. And the Most High of God is a title of possessor of heaven and earth. Now, who is and who's going to be possessor of heaven and earth? Jesus Christ. But Satan today thinks he is the Most High, okay? And he sets a rebellion. And his policy of evil that developed is in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12. Listen, you got to get this down. Because this is what Satan is doing, he's trying to doing, and when he comes in over here and sits in a temple that he rebuilds for the nation Israel, he's going to be God. He says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, and which didst weaken the nations?" What was his name? Lucifer. Where did he fall from? Heaven. He's no longer called Lucifer, he's called Satan. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars, I will sit upon the mount of transfiguration in the sides of the north, I will ascend on the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. How many I's do you count in there?
Five.
Five is the number of division. That's what Satan is doing. He's causing division. He's causing division in well churches, if you will. You know, people can't get it right. They want carpet, blue carpet, red carpet, all that stuff. You know, listen, when Satan throwing them fiery darts, they have not stopped. When you got the whole armor of God on, he's going to try and continue to pierce things. And you know what? Sometimes they get in there, don't they? They get in under a little chink of armor, and it hurts. It's like, whoa, I'm wounded. What's going on here? I thought about this the other day, that Hobbit movies and Desolation of Smaug, and that big giant dragon, fire-breathing dragon, everybody's scared of him, bowing down to him and all that stuff. He had one little section of that armor of that dragon was already kind of pierced. And that guy shot that arrow and hit that dragon and brought him down. See, you won't go down totally down. It's going to hurt, okay? He's going to continue to throw those darts at you no matter what. If your spouse is not throwing them at you and you're throwing it at them, guess what? You're going to throw them at yourself sometimes with your mind thinking of what you did in the past, all that. Stop that, okay? Just stop that. But what did he do? He seeks to sit as God Almighty, as possessor of the government of the heaven and earth, to be the one who is worshipped and who is served. That's what he wants. He wants to be like God because God was being served night and day. Now, in that capacity, okay, he has that kingdom. And he has cohorts. He has people under him that's filling those positions. Now, only two of the princes that God established in the original creation remained true to God. You know who they were? There's only three angels mentioned in your Bible by name. Lucifer, Michael, Gabriel. Okay? Two of those remained faithful to God. You know who they were?
Michael
and Gabriel. Very good. Now, all the others, according to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8, says the earth in the millennium will be divided up according to the number of the children of Israel. Now, how many is that?
12.
There are going to be 12 kingdoms, okay? 12 thrones, 12 princesses, but one God, one king, okay, over heaven and earth. Now, when Christ reigns, the earth is divided into 12 sections. And the heavens, perhaps, are divided in that corresponding division. And just like there's 12 princes in Israel, 12 apostles that reign over 12 tribes, each tribe has a section of the earth. So there are princes in heaven to be top leaders of government authorities. Powers, mights, dominions, thrones, and the government structures. We know that there's a government structure up there today. There's going to be a government structure up there tomorrow. There's going to be a government structure in ages to come. Now, in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, you want to turn there, but it says, it says this. Why are they 24 elders before the throne of God? One elder before the throne of God represents 24 divisions in the government of the universe. There's four. Let's think about this for a second, okay? How many hours are in a day?
24.
She says 24. I beg to differ.
Well, in a day there's 12.
There's 12 in a day. Lord Jesus Christ said that. And there's 12 at night. 12 in a day, 12 at night equals what?
24.
That's where we get 24. Now, the world, the universe, if you will, is divided in 20. Let me ask you this. How many time zones are they in the world today? Okay? There's 24 time zones in the earth today. And there is 4 and 20 elders, and that's 24. It's very, very possible that those 4 and 20 elders up there sitting where God is sitting on the congregation in the north has a section all over the universe. 24, they're in charge of that section. With me? That's just something you can think about that. But the universe, as we know it, not the third heaven, the universe as we know it is corrupt, and Satan and his clan is running that. Now, I believe that in the heavenly places, all of it's not unelect angels, if you will. Because where would they be? Okay, let me ask you this. If you're saved today in a government position, you're working with unsaved people, aren't you? You don't have your own government out there. So Satan is in charge of that first and second government in the heavenly places. And you see Daniel starts to get a glimpse of that structure in that universe. Now, let's continue. Go back to Daniel chapter 10. Now, the prince that corresponds to Persia stops Gabriel from coming, don't he? It just says prince. So there's one prince up there that corresponds to Persia, and then there's Michael, right? He's up there, corresponds to Gabriel. Gabriel corresponds to Israel. And Gabriel has to pass through the territory that corresponds to rule over by the prince of Persia, who stops him. So Gabriel comes out of third heaven up here, and he comes through the universe, and the king of Persia stops him. And Gabriel has to send back to Michael, the archangel, who came down and got him loose. And Daniel chapter 10, Daniel chapter 10 is a situation where the heavenly kingdom of Satan is seeking to stop Daniel from getting information. Gabriel comes down. Michael helps him, and Michael does the fighting for him. Gabriel stands there, withstands him, right? He can't get by. Michael comes down. He's coming to fight. He clears the pathway. And Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, we read on the beginning. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to me to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, how many days is that?
21 days.
3 weeks. Daniel's all, remember when Daniel was fasting for how long? 3 weeks. Okay, he's fast. He's waiting to hear an answer. He's going through some things. Verse 20 says, "Then shall he knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come." Now, there was a battle involved in what happened there. Gabriel got through it. And why would the prince of the kingdom of Persia not want Gabriel to get through to Daniel? Gabriel's dispatching some very important information to Daniel to help him understand about some things going through a tribulation period. The prince of the kingdom of Persia is part of the Satan's army, okay? Satan's kingdom. And Satan has, really, he don't like Israel at all. He's always got hostilities towards Israel. And as the nation Israel, whom God has determined to restore his authority over the planet Earth. You remember when God created the earth? Okay, I believe it was perfect. Then he flooded it because of this, what's going on with Satan. Then he said, "I'm going to put man down here on earth," and he gave Adam a commission to replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. So Adam was going to be a king, and Satan didn't like that. So what did he do? He went straight to the garden and deceived Eve, and Adam made a choice, and Adam gave the deed up to the world, to Satan. That's what he's known as, the god of this world. That's how he got that title, as he got the deed of the earth. And so after that, God said, "Okay, no problem. I'm going to use Israel. Israel's going to restore my kingdom on this earth." And Satan don't like that. So that's why we talk about this map, if I can get back to it without... let's see. That's going backwards. There we go. This true line up here is the nation Israel that's going to follow God all the way through the kingdom age over there. And Satan knew that, and he tries to find out how to distort that nation of Israel and make it ungodly, which he succeeds. That's why when Lord Jesus Christ come to this earth, they didn't recognize who he was. Some of them did. So Satan knew that, and he didn't want Daniel to get this information about the restoration program that God is going to do over here. And that's exactly what Gabriel gave to him in verse 14. "Now I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." Satan doesn't want Israel, Daniel, to get the information about the restoration program for the nation Israel. Daniel's way over here in captivity. Captivity is ending, and he's talking about restoring the kingdom program over here, going back and building the kingdom. So Satan opposes that program and doesn't want to have the understanding, them to have the understanding, the knowledge, and the information of that program. Okay, so he pulls out all stops to try to stop it. Verse 14 is a key to the vision in chapters 11 and 12. So remember this. There are three elements and features of the vision. Verse 14 says, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, yet the vision is for many days." One is the vision concerns the nation Israel, okay? Not the body of Christ, not us. I know it seems like things are going on out there that's you know, seems like the prophetic program's rolling down the street. Next thing you know, the Antichrist will be here and all that stuff. No, the President Donald Trump is not the Antichrist. Same as Obama wasn't the Antichrist, okay? We done talked about these things. We're in a mystery program, but we are in the times of the Gentiles. See, the times of the Gentiles are still in effect, that they're running this world, if you will. Two, the latter days is talking about that tribulation period over there, not the days of the other people that we talked about that said that was the tribulation period. Daniel's talking about these latter days right here, and then he says a long period of time before vision is finalized. So it's going to be many days before that kingdom is set up over there. So the vision concerns Israel, and it shows what happens to Israel just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. But it will be a while before that takes place, okay? This is why he says back in Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, "But the time appointed was long, was way off in the future." So when we get to vision of chapter 11, remember it is Israel's in the tribulation setting, and there's going to be a long time between Daniel got it, and then they're going to get it. Verse 15, Daniel chapter 10, verse 15. "And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face towards the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the substitute of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the visions my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then saith he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of what? Truth, that there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your what? Prince. In verses 18 and 19, when Gabriel begins to get the information, it gives him the information. It starts to strengthen Daniel. And there's two things happen when the prophetic truth was given to Daniel and Israel. First, it strengthens them. Listen, they're in bad shape over there in 70 years they've been in bad shape. It's almost like, how many years was they down in Egypt? 400 years in Egypt. Night and day they've been suffering. Night and day they've been in slavery. Night and day. But you know what? They had the book of Job. And they started reading the book of Job and thinking their Redeemer liveth. And they started thinking about that. And they started looking for the Redeemer. That started strengthening them. And it gives them heart and strength and courage. And secondly, it enlightens them. You know, go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Hold your finger there in Daniel. Got a few more minutes. Ephesians chapter 1. There's a very interesting comparison in the Word of God. Now, all the Bible's for us, but not all of it's to us. So we can learn what Daniel's learning through the scriptures, okay? But in Ephesians chapter 1, this book is written to the body of Christ, okay? It's written for us. Verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him, and the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance to the saints, and what is the exceedingly greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Now, when you think about this, when you begin this mystery truth that we believe, we teach to be truth for today, not the prophetic truth, prophecy truth, it enlightens you. It gives you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding about what's going on. Listen, when you're saved today, praise God, hallelujah, trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. That saves you. Then it says, come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will. So you have to search out the truth. What Daniel was teaching and believing and getting information from, that is truth, isn't it? But it's not truth for today. It's scriptural, but it's not dispensational. That's why you got to be very, very careful what you pull out of those books in the Old Testament, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to try to apply it to your life today. Because it's like a round peg in a square hole, that type of thing. You know, it won't fit. You have to force it in there. And then you get all upset because it's not working. But look, in the other prayer in Ephesians, he says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to strengthen you with might by His Spirit in the inner man. See, this is where we need that strength. This is where we get our conscience. This is where our heart condition is. This is where our spirit and soul is, that we can make good decisions out there today. Well, I said on the onslaught, it's very disturbing sometimes. And I can get caught up in that Facebook stuff and start fighting back and forth with people that I don't even know if they're saved, had people. But I don't have that many friends on Facebook, but most friends I have are saved. I can thank God for that. But, you know, they still have different opinions on things. Some of my saved friends, they believe in turning the other cheek. You know, that type of thing. Just let them beat you down. And I'm like, hey, if possible, live peacefully with all men. You know, that type of thing. So, you know, you put me in a corner, I have no other choice than to defend my faith and my family and my God, that type of thing. So I'm not saying I'm going to fight you. I'm just saying I'm going to take what's built up in me to make decisions based on who I am in Christ on this earth. And it seems like it's getting harder. But look, the prophetic truth gave Daniel and the prophetic saints enlightened them and strengthened them. Our truth does the same thing for us. Listen, if you're once, I might have said this once, I'll say it 1,000 times. If you're getting your strength and information out of books that's not to you, not your mail, okay, it is scriptural, isn't it? But it's going to be hard to apply it to today. And that's where when you rightly divide the word of truth. Now, an accurate understanding of God's word will give you an understanding enlightenment. You know, y'all know I'm a special commodities relocation engineer, which means truck driver. And you know, in the past, truck drivers got a bad rap. You know, it don't take much education to dump a box of rocks, that type of thing. You know, but today, even I can understand what God is doing through His word. That should be an encouragement to many of you. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to go to a cemetery school, you know, spend 4 years for them to tell you what they believe about the Bible says. The Bible is written, the King James Bible is written in sixth grade English. Sixth grade English. And it's very easy to understand. They put the words of God into the hand of the simple man so we can understand it, okay? And we study it and we say, but the key to understanding the Bible is rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
And that's what's going to help you out. Now, Daniel chapter 10, verse 20 says, "Then saith he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." Verse 21, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, that this is none that holdeth with me of these things, but Michael your prince." Now look, just those two faithful are left. Okay? And notice verse 21. "And I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth." That word "noted" means that it's marked down. It's written down in the scripture of truth. And you see angels' attitude towards the word of God. What was his word of God? What did he call it?
Scripture.
The scripture of truth. We have scripture of truth. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth said, "Sanctify them by the word." The word is truth. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And he says it, when you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the word of truth, it's scriptural truth. It's just not what man broke down there. Listen, when these words, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God, okay? You have to hear the word of God to have faith in it. When you hear the gospel of your salvation, that Christ died for your sins, bear with, these words comes off the page and into the hearing and gets down in your soul and resonates in the who you are today and resonates and starts to grow. That inner man starts to grow and starts to strengthen you with might and power, okay, and wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And that's what you need today. And that's what we need today, more so than anything. Listen, you may have trouble with your children today. You may have trouble with your bosses today. You may have trouble with your businesses today. There's trouble going to be always here. But how do you deal with it? How do you strengthen yourself to say, listen, enough is enough. This is what God says to do. And it strengthens you. Daniel chapter 11 verse 2 says, the angel says, "And now will I show thee the truth." And Daniel had copies of God's word, and the angel said, "The copies of God's word and what I am about to give you, write down is truth." See, revelation gave from God to man. Man wrote it down. Man just didn't write down what he wanted to say. God told him what to say. Okay? That's why this book is powerful. That's why this book has been trying to be destroyed. That's why they have other versions of this book. They counterfeit the word of God and they water it down and they deny it. God gave you a book and he calls it the truth. And you don't have to worry about error and mistakes and human opinion and viewpoint. That's why you and I can have a conversation and you can say, well, that's what your opinion is. And I can look at you and say, that's what your opinion is. And you can say, that's what you say. And I can say, well, that's what you say. But when you open up the Word of God, that's what is said and that settles it. Okay? I learned that a long time ago. When I open this Word up and it says what it says, mean what it says, It's final. It's final. So we have an authority today, a final authority. And if I said this once, I said 100 times, this book is about authority over the entire universe, heaven and earth. And it's talking about a throne and power. Okay? You got God the Creator, which a lot of people don't realize or don't believe. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 about the witnessing of creation is the witnessing of creation. Go there with me right quick. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. It says, this. If you want to know why we are the way we are, read the first 5 chapters of Romans, okay? The first 3 chapters are going to give you 3 types of people. The first one's talking about you and I, Gentiles, or how we were. And it says, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Listen, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Okay? God never violates your free will. Okay? You understand that? He will never do that. You make the choice. And these people held the truth in unrighteousness because that which was made known of God manifested in them. Everybody has a God conscience in them. Everybody. And everybody's got that God conscience is always seeking really who God is. But you know, when you put a dampener on it and calluses and hardens your heart, it can't get to that. And that's where you make that choice. And we talked about God sending people to hell. God don't send them. You sent yourself to hell. Okay? Just remember that. There's always an opening. Verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are what? Clearly seen. God spoke the world in existence. He said, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. You wasn't there. Job wasn't there. My wife wasn't even there. Being understood by the things that are made. Okay, you look out there, you see the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without what?
Excuse.
My friends, this verse is clearly states there's no such thing as atheists, no God. Because you can't really constantly make a conscious choice and look out there and say, Big Bang Theory. Just poof. No. Your mind's being corrupt. Believe the Word of God. It's an absolute authority. And that's why the world hates it, can't stand it, gets upset when you pull it out. Oh, it's a book. Don't you pull that out. You know? But there's all kinds of books in everywhere else, aren't they? You know one thing I noticed right quick? I'm going to close. You ever go to a dentist office or doctor's office and they might be 3 or 4 people in the lobby waiting and you had an appointment at 10 o'clock and they had an appointment at 9:59, that type of thing, you know. And you sit there, you see stacks of magazines. There'll be a Bible over there. Now, this is just me. It's not coincidence, whatever. Sometimes I'll pick up that Bible and start looking at it, reading it. And it seems like it ain't not even 5 minutes. Mr. Yarber, come on back. I'm like, I'm just opening up the Bible. But if I open up a magazine or something different, it seems like I'm there forever. I'm looking at my phone. I'm looking for that. Try that sometime. See if it works for you. You know, once again, let's go to word prayer. Listen, don't be running from truth. The truth is here. The truth has set you free. And once again, I know flesh is flesh, but the Spirit is more powerful than flesh. Amen. Father, we thank You for the time. We thank You for the things You've given us. And we ask as we think about who we are in Christ Jesus and we have a final authority in our possession that we can understand what God is doing today as much as Daniel started to understand what they wish to do in ages to come. And Father, if there's one person out there today that's not truly trusted that You came to this earth and died and was buried and rose again, let them do so today. And then we can get in the Word of God to start to understanding and make a difference in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, you can visit us at www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. This message will be on YouTube channel shortly. Also, the audio visit. If you want to donate, there's a donut hole on the, no, just kidding. There's a donate button on the website if you want to donate to a ministry. We appreciate you, and we'll see you this time next week.